And 620, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Tomorrow, some North Texans will ditch their cars for a ride on two wheels to the office. Friday is Bike to Work Day. As KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports, a local class is teaching newcomers the rules of the road.
There's a class every month at the downtown Dallas Public Library that teaches people the ins and outs of bike riding in North Texas. It's called Bike Commuting 101. It covers everything from bike gear and safety to biking laws. This week, the cyclists prepared for Bike to Work Day. Rule number one:
don't take the route that you drive your car on.
Mark Draz is a cycling instructor with the League of American Bicyclists. For those of us who are used to driving to the office, it can be tempting to follow the path often traveled.
It's well worth it to go 5 to 10 minutes out of your way to take neighborhood streets or bike paths, or to even combine your bike with mass transit.
North Texas isn't well known nationally for its cycling scene. The League of American Bicyclists ranks Dallas number 58 on a list of the 70 largest bike commuting cities. Fort Worth is 64th, and Plano is 69th. The League has noticed North Texans wanting to ride more, though. They say there's been a more than 200% increase in cycling in Dallas in recent years. While most still prefer cycling for recreation, more and more people want to ride to work. But what about sweat and hygiene?
So if you have a commute over, 5 to 7 miles, think about combining your bike ride with Dart or a Vanpool. Take an easy pace. And then when you get to work, check and see if you have shower facilities.
If not, Draz says keep a change of clothes at the office, wear bright, breathable fabrics, and consider buying a vented helmet or a cargo rack to keep stuff off your back and minimize that back sweat. And make sure you're comfortable on your bike. Draz says biking to work has enriched his life.
Before I was bike commuting, I was spending an hour plus each day in my car. And now I have that time back to be outside in fresh air, look around, enjoy the sights, and have, 30 minutes to be by myself and relax after a long day at work.
He says stay alert, follow all traffic laws, and have fun. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
All month, we're catching up with a group of juniors in high school. We've been following them since the 8th grade. It's part of the American Graduate Series, What's Next for the Class of 17. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with former Stanford University Dean Julie Lithcott-Hames, who says learning to fail is important for students headed for college.
Places like Harvard and Stanford, for example, both have efforts around building resilience in their undergraduates. They say our students are failure deprived. They've gotten here. Their path has been smoothed, overhelped. They've achieved a lot. And when the first thing goes wrong, like a B or a tiff with a roommate or rejection from a club, they have absolutely no wherewithal within their own psyche to handle it, and they fall apart. All right, so what do we do? We have to tolerate things going wrong in the lives of our kids. Kids need role models for how to handle struggle. They need to know that life goes on. Instead, we tend to act like every single aspect of their lives is a make or break moment for this tremendous future we have in mind for them. So, of course, they freak out because we're freaking out. Like, oh, my God, you missed that. What are we going to do? Your future is over. No, their future is not over. They are 2,800 accredited colleges and universities in this magnificent nation of ours. There is room for everybody somewhere. And it's who that kid is when they get there that determines whether they'll be successful. You know, not how good was your mom or dad at making sure you did all your work or met all your deadlines.
Julie Lithcott-Hames is the author of How to Raise an Adult and host of the college admissions podcast, Getting In. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. And explore a Class of 17 series at kera.org/class of 17. County property appraisal notices are out. And in many cases, your house is worth more. Higher demand for housing pushed up residential property values 9 to 13% in some North Texas counties. Higher values can mean higher taxes, but you can file a protest with your county appraisal district by May 31st. KERA's Sam Baker talked with Dallas Morning News watchdog columnist Dave Lieber about how the process works.
Who should protest and why?
Well, I think we're at the point where everybody should consider protesting, because if you don't protest this year and you allow your tax base rates to go up, then they're just going to stay up forever, and so you have to knock them down. So, I mean, I protest just about every year, and I know a lot of people do, or every other year.
But should you protest even if the appraisal is a fair one?
Well, that's up to your conscience.
Should you protest just because you don't want to pay more in taxes?
Yeah, you know what? If you give me the opportunity to lower my taxes, I'm going to do that.
And what do you need to have with you to protest?
You need to know what's going on in your neighborhood, and those are called comps, and that stands for comparables. And you can ask any realtor friend, give me the comps, and for free, they'll print out a list for you what's going on. You'll see what they know about home sales in that neighborhood that actually somehow got into the record, because some do and some don't. And then you'll be able to say, no, look at the square footage on that house on the corner of where I live is the same as mine, but their taxes are lower. Because you can see what your neighbor's tax rate is, just like you can see yours on the appraisal district websites. But the other thing you do besides the comps is you look at what's wrong with the inside of your house. Is your roof damaged from hail? If so, you get a roofer to come in and get a estimate written, and then you take that written estimate to the appraisal district during your in-person protest and say, look, this estimate says my roof costs $9,000 to fix. So I think instead of appraising my house at $139,000, you need to lower it to $130,000. So those are the two ways that I've done it. I've said, look at my foundation, look at my estimate, look at the comps in my neighborhood, and look at my neighbor down the street. His house is different from mine, same as mine, but the rate is different. That's not fair.
And show proof that what might be construed as an improvement was actually a repair. Is that what you're saying?
A repair that's needed as of January 1st of that year. It's the condition of your house as of January 1 of each year.
You can actually do this online.
I've done it. It works in different counties in different years, but it's like playing The Price is Right. They said my house was worth X. I typed in, no, it's worth Y. 5 minutes later, I got an email saying, okay, we accept it. It was over. Every county changes all the time, but every county has an online website that shows all the numbers, and every county under law in Texas says you are allowed to protest online. So that's the easiest way to do it, but mailing a letter works too.
Going before that appraiser or the review board, is that a frightening thing?
No,
I imagine some people would think it might be.
Yes, I was a little nervous when I went in. There's three or four of them and one of me. You know, I didn't hire a property tax consultant, which is what some people do in the situation.
Doing now.
Yeah, but it's actually just a conversation that you have where you say, here's what I got, and then they show your property on a screen in front, and you say, here's my evidence, and here's a copy for each of the three of you or the four of you, and this is why I think it's so. And then they agree or they don't. And it's very arbitrary. And that's one reason the system is flawed, because what's accepted in Dallas County may not be accepted in Tarrant. And that's not fair to people.
Is the appraiser or the appraiser review board's decision final?
You can absolutely appeal it to arbitration or to the civil court. You actually have to file real legal papers, and you actually may even want a lawyer. So you can imagine how many businesses actually go to court when they don't like the decision, but homeowners generally don't, because they don't want to deal with the court, the lawyers, the expense, and the time.
If you succeed in lowering that property value of the house, does it affect at all how much you can sell your house for if you decide?
In my opinion, no, because just because a house is appraised at, say, $225, it can still sell for $290 a week later because the market's so hot. People are bidding high numbers now. A house is selling for $250, and maybe you have to actually spend $280 to get it because three other people want it because it's only been shown for 3 days, and that's what's going on in our market now. And because of those new employees moving into North Texas from all around the world here all the time on a steady stream because our economy is so booming and it's such an amazing place to live. You know, we're going through a housing boom right now that I don't see it as a bubble. Our industries are so diverse here across the board that we are able to maintain, and I think this is the new reality. These are the new housing prices, and the era of cheap housing in North Texas is over.
Dave Lieber, thank you for being with me.
Thank you, Sam.
It's been raining off and on all day in North Texas, causing the AT&T Byron Nelson Golf Tournament start about 3 hours late today. And tonight, it's much of the same. Mostly cloudy skies, more rain with a low around 61. It's tomorrow that the sun peaks out with partly sunny skies and a high near 80. It's currently 69 degrees in Dallas, 66 in Fort Worth, 64 in Tyler, and 63 in Wichita Falls. At 6:30, this is KERA News.